So which verse is it today?
24.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Veda is one, and the reasons for its divisions in many parts are explained herewith. The seed of all knowledge, or the Veda, is not a subject matter which can easily be understood by any ordinary man. There is a scripture that no one should try to learn the Vedas who is not a qualified Brahmana. There is a stricture that no one should try to learn the Vedas who is not a qualified Brahmana. This stricture has been wrongly interpreted in so many ways. A class of men who claim brahminical qualification simply by their birthright in the family of a Brahmana claim that the study of the Vedas is a monopoly of the Brahmana caste only. Another section of the people take this as an injustice to members of other castes who do not happen to take birth in a Brahmana family. But both of them are misguided. The Vedas are subjects which have to be explained even to Brahmaji by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the subject matter is understood by persons with exceptional qualities of goodness. Persons who are in the modes of passion and ignorance are unable to understand the subject matter of the Vedas. The ultimate goal of Vedic knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of God. This personality is very rarely understood by those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance. In the Satya Yuga, everyone was situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually, the mode of goodness declined during the Treta and Dwapara Yugas, and the general mass of people became corrupt. In the present age, goodness is almost nil. And so, for the general mass of people, the kind-hearted, powerful sage Srila Vyasadeva divided the Vedas in various ways so that they may be practically followed by less intelligent persons in the modes of passion and ignorance. It is explained in the next shloka as follows. So, the word kripana, vatsala. Vatsala is very merciful, very kind to the kripanas, to the selfish, less intelligent people. So there's the brahmanas and the kripanas, but in Kali Yuga, everybody's born a kripana. Kalo Shudra Shambhava. In the Kali Yuga, everybody is at the level of Shudra because the mode of goodness in Kali Yuga is practically nil, as Prabhupada says. So the modes of passion and ignorance are predominant. And if you look at the television nowadays, there's nothing on there except ignorance. People who watch that, they stay at a level of ignorance. Any intelligent person can't watch TV. There's nothing there for them. There's no taste, no, it's just some low consciousness. But Vyasadeva, he was so kind, so caring, so loving to the ignorant masses. He wanted to help them. He wanted that they should get the benefit of the Vedas, although he understood that it was way beyond what they were able to grasp. So he divided it in various ways, and Prabhupada said he even edited it so that they may be assimilated by less intellectual men. Men who had a poor fund of knowledge and a poor fund of intelligence. Less brain substance. So what happened was over time the whole thing became corrupted. So, in the Vedas, it is recommended that one should be a qualified brahmana to recite and teach the Vedas. So this instruction was wrongly interpreted by so many people in so many different ways. And therefore, people who had no brahminical qualities began to speak on the Vedas and give their interpretation. These are called Brahma Bandhu. They may be born in a family of Brahmins, but they have no brahminical quality, so they're considered friends of the Brahmins. So my child, who's an ignorant fool, is just a friend of the Brahmins, but he's not a Brahmin. An example of this is we have Shamika Rishi, who was a great sage, a brahminical person. But his son, Shringi, was just a Brahma Bandhu. He was not a Brahmin. He didn't have the qualities of a Brahmin. Therefore, he cursed Maharaj Parikshit. So just because he had that power to curse, and that curse took effect, he had Shakti, no doubt. But he wasn't a Brahmin. Because he didn't have the heart. He didn't have the understanding. He didn't have the wisdom. He didn't have the bhakti. He just had power. Who else had power? Hitler had power. Stalin had power. Mao Zedong had power. So what? They're the lowest of mankind. But a real Brahmin is Kripana Vatsala. He is very kind, very merciful towards the Kripanas, Prabhupada says here, less intellectual men, but that's being kind. Kripa is someone who's like a miser. Keeps everything for himself. Won't even distribute anything to anybody else. All he can think of is me, me, me. That's a Kripana. Prabhupada's being very kind, less intelligent men, but these are the lowest intelligent men. Anyway, it became the whole system, Vedic knowledge became corrupted, and people who didn't have any Brahmin qualifications became, they ran descended from the Brahmin family. They claimed they were Brahmins and they wanted a monopoly on studying the Vedas. So this happened even 500 years ago, at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Nimai Pandit, he wanted to get the Vedic knowledge out to the common masses of people, especially the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But when he tried to spread this teaching to the Kripanas, to everyone else in the town of Navadvip, the Brahmins went to the Ghazi to complain, stop this guy. He's destroying our Dharma, this Nimai Pandit, upstart. He's taking these sacred teachings and distributing it to the riffraff. So the Qazi said, okay, well, we'll stop this. He was taken in by these so-called Brahmins and their envious, harmful mentality. When all Nimai Pandit wanted to do was distribute the knowledge so that everyone would benefit. He was in the mood of Vyasa, Kripana Vatsala. He was so kind to everyone. He wanted everyone to get this mercy. And the Brahmins tried to stop him. There's another example of Ramanujacharya, one of the great acharyas of Vaishnavism. When he was a brahmacharya in the ashram of his guru, the guru said, one day we'll all become guru one day. And when you advance to that level, I will give you a secret mantra. And with this mantra, you'll be able to go back home, back to Godhead. So all the brahmacharis wanted that mantra. One day, the guru called Ramanuja, said, you are the most qualified. I'm going to give you this secret mantra. But I'm giving it to you on one condition. This is a mantra that's handed down from guru to disciple and entrusted to you. You hand it to the next qualified person, but don't spread it to everybody. It's not meant to be for everyone. So Ramanuja said, yes, you please, but give me this mantra. You explain the meaning of the mantra. He told that this is the mantra. You chant this mantra with care and attention, and you will be free from samsara. So he gave the mantra to Ramanuja. Ramanuja accepted that mantra. Thank you very much, Guruji. The next day, the guru was walking through the center of the town, and he saw a big crowd, a big commotion going on. He thought, what's this? What's going on here? Made his way through the crowd. And there he saw Ramanuja calling out, everybody please come and take this mantra. You can be guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. I'm giving this mantra freely to everyone. The guru was shocked. Oh my God. He ran up to Ramanuja, shaking him. What are you doing? You promised that you would keep this mantra secret. And now you're distributing it to everyone. For this great offense, you're going to hell. And Ramanuja said, he said, it's okay. I may go to hell, but everyone else will go back home, back to God. It's a small price to pay. That everyone else can go back home, back to Godhead. That was his mood. He was Kripana Vatsala. He was so merciful, so kind to have the fallen condition of souls. He said, yeah. I need you to help, but everyone else will go back to God. Then there was when Lord Chaitanya was, after he took Nimai Pandit to Sannyas, many people became his followers. There were two brothers, Mukunda Datta and Vasudev Datta. They came from the town of Chittagong, which is in present-day Bangladesh. They were great devotees of the Lord. And they would go visit, all the devotees would go visit Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri every year for the Rath Yatra festival. And they would stay there for a long period of time to have his association. And at the end of the Chaturmasya period, they would go back to their homes. And before they left, they would all want to have darshan with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ask questions and just clarify any doubts and this and that. So Vasudev Datta, he approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, oh, I'm so sad. Sri Chaitanya said, oh, why? You should be happy. Susu kam kartu bhavyayam. This is the process where everyone is experiencing great joy. How you're unhappy? Well, I'm so unhappy because there's millions and billions of living entities who have not gotten your mercy. And they will go to hell. And I'm trying, I cannot live peacefully knowing that I'm going to go back to Godhead and they're going to have to suffer birth after birth after birth. Therefore, I want to ask you one benediction. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what is that benediction? Vasudev Datta said, let me take the sinful reactions of all the billions of living entities in the entire universe. Let them all go back home, back to Godhead, and let me, just one person, suffer eternally in a hellish situation. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, tears came to his eyes, and he said, my heart is cracking hearing this merciful, loving sentiment from you. Said, just by your desire, it will happen. So you see, the great souls, they're creeping about Sana. Prabhupada was creeping about Sana. He came to the Western countries in old age and poor health to give us that mercy. So this is the consciousness of devotees, those who are devoted. They have devotion in their heart. They care for other people. But it is very rare. Because by opening up our heart chakra and experiencing this love for everyone else, you quickly connect to Sri Krishna. Prabhupada says, the personality of Godhead, but this personality is very rarely understood by those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance. We can possibly understand the mode of goodness, but unless we come to Shuddha Sattva, pure devotional mentality, we're not going to understand Krishna. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, out of thousands of men, hardly one will endeavor to take up this path of bhakti yoga. And out of thousands of people who do take it up, hardly one knows me in truth. Hardly one means not even one. A half, something like that. Less than one. So rare. So the devotees, they were reading this, and someone asked Sri Prabhupada, does that include us? That hardly one of us is going to understand Krishna? What is the point of taking this up? We're going to fail, according to Krishna. It's so rare. Prabhupada said, you don't worry. Lord Chaitanya changed all the numbers. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy now, he's making it so easy that almost practically anybody can get the mercy and become satisfied simply by taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Lord Chaitanya was so merciful, he was completely Kripana Vatsala. He even said that there are so many names, oh my Lord Govinda, you have so many names, and there's not even any hard and fast rules for chanting these holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. So Lord Chaitanya was expressing the understanding of the people in Kali Yuga. They have no attraction for the holy names of the Lord, which can bring them back home, back to God, and reestablish their eternal loving relationship with Sri Krishna. But we have no attraction for him. So he even said there's no rules, no regulations. Why did he say that? Because in the Kali Shantarana Upanishad, Narada Muni approaches Brahma and he asks him. He says, my dear Brahma, you were there in the very beginning, before creation. So if anybody knows who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you would know. So you please tell me, who empowered you to create? Because everybody wants to know who is God. This religion says so-and-so is God. This religion says so-and-so. Everybody has their own idea. Even in the times of Narada Muni, everybody had their different opinions. So Narada Muni said, I can solve this problem. I'll go right to Brahma. He was there before everybody. He was the first person in existence. No one else was there. He has to know. If anybody knows, he has to know. This is intelligence. Narada Muni, he went to the right person. He figured it out. So when he went to Lord Brahma and he asked him, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The creator of everything. The beginning, number one. Lord Brahma was very pleased. He said, this is such a wonderful question. I'm so glad that you come and asked this. And he said, Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adi Govinda Sarvakarma Karana. That the Supreme Controller of all other controls is Krishna, whose form is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Although he is beginningless, he is the beginning of everything. And his name is Govinda. He plays his transcendental flute, and this Govinda is the cause of all other causes. So Narada Muni was very happy. He had found out what he wanted to find out. Then the next question he said, how do the living entities, myself included, how do we connect to this Ishvara Parama Krishna? How do we establish a connection, a relationship? Lord Brahma said, this is the most wonderful question. You have gladdened my heart simply by asking this question. And he said, Harinama, 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 Evoke, Lalankalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. There is no other way, no other way, no other way to achieve the goal except to chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. And then he quoted the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he said that these 16 names will destroy all the negativity, all the inauspiciousness in the hearts of people. Especially in this Kali Yuga, it is very powerful. So Narada Muni was just blissed out. This is fantastic. Because he likes to go, and he's also Kripana Vatsala. He likes to go and help people. So now he had something really, he had the bona fide knowledge to go back and tell everybody, Krishna is God, this is how you connect to him. there was one last question that he wanted to, you know, because he's thinking, he's planning ahead. If people ask me different questions, I have to know the answers. So he said, what are the rules? What tapasya? What do you have to do in order to chant this mantra? And Lord Brahma said, there's no rules. You can chant it any time, any place, by anybody, any time of day. No rules. So that's why Lord Chaitanya said there's no, not even any hard or fast rules for chanting this holy name of the Lord. That's for the general mass of people. That's why we go out into the streets and into the yoga centers and put out CDs and everything so that the holy name can go everywhere. Everyone can get the benefit and they don't need any qualification. No hard and fast rules. Anybody can chant. We see even when we go to Harinam, drunk people join in. They start dancing and chanting. When we were at the retreat and we went to the Erskine Falls, and at the bottom of the falls, at the river, we were at Harinam, and this couple came along. The guy was in bliss. He started joining in, chanting and dancing. Just like that, he was completely, you would have sworn this guy's a devotee, isn't it? It's like he was a devotee. You're so into it. And then, when we finished the kirtan, we were leaving. So he was leaving. And then my wife wanted a group photo. We said group photo. We called him back. He came running. He was there waving his hand. He's in the photo with the devotees. So there's no hard and fast rules. He got the mercy. He had no idea before, and he had no qualification, but he got the mercy. So there's no hard and fast rules for receiving this mantra. But there are hard and fast rules for giving this mantra. You have to follow the four regulative principles. You have to chant without offenses. There are 10 offenses. So if you want, should actually want to give the true mantra to someone, you have to be qualified. Anyone can receive it, but not anybody can give it. The mantra has to be given by someone who is connected to the Parampara system. We're connected to the Parampara system because we're connected to Prabhupada, as long as we're following Prabhupada's instructions. But if we're not, then how we can say we're connected? So we can't become like these Brahma Bandhus who claim qualification, but not qualified. One time, one devotee said something about some other people, other spiritualists in India. And Prabhupada said, this is very wrong. Our character has to be above reproach. If I'm chastising those who are misguiding and misleading, but we're doing the same things, then it's all hypocrisy. If we're not living the teachings, just talking about it, and we have a different mentality or a different mood, we're not actually frequent of Vatsalas, but we look down on other people, we think they're bogus, they're admired, this, that, or anything, I criticize and find faults, then the whole thing is a farce. And we're just hypocrites. So we actually have to come up to the standard. I've seen four decades of being involved in this process of bhakti yoga that it's not easy to stay fixed on the path. Prabhupada explained the path of devotional service is like a razor's edge. seen so many of my god brothers and god sisters fall away because they didn't stick to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. They speculated. This was the first thing. They speculated. Lord Chaitanya explains that the watering process of the devotional seed, Bhakti Lata Beej, Lord Chaitanya plants a seed in everyone's heart, a seed of devotional kripa, which Srila Prabhupada is representative. And Prabhupada teaches us how to nourish that seed, how to water it and take care of it. But you have to be careful. Lord Chaitanya explains that a gardener, he knows that when you water the plants, the weeds also get the water. They also get nourishment. So the watering process is not enough, because the weeds will grow and choke out and destroy the healthy plant. So besides watering, you have to pull out the weeds. If we don't pull out the weeds, the bhakti lata, devotional creeper, gets choked up. And then what happens is we're watering the weeds. The lust, the anger, the greed, the envy, the arrogance. We water those things by chanting offensively, inattentively, by speculating, by committing sinful activities while so in the process of being so-called Vaishnava or devotee. So committing these offenses means you're watering the weeds. You become filled with anger, greed, envy, arrogance, illusion, prejudice. You have no respect for others. You find fault with others. This is going on. And we become self-righteous. I am right. I'm speaking the truth. These guys are all in Maya. It's not an offense because I'm speaking the truth. But according to the Shastra, it's an offense because of your mentality. That's what makes it an offense. Not whether you're speaking the truth or not. If you have a negative mentality, a harmful mentality, if you don't have the mentality of Kripa Navasa, then it's an aparad. Whether you're right or wrong, doesn't matter. You're always wrong. Because the whole relation, the whole teaching of Bhakti Yoga is based on relationship, sambandha jnana. And if we're destroying relationships, that's in the mode of ignorance. If we talk badly about someone else, it's a mode of ignorance. It's not the mood of devotion. Therefore, it's a lie. It's an offense. There are people in this movement who've been here for decades, and they're not making advancement. They're still on that level. Because they're not hearing the mantra properly. They're inattentive while chanting. The tenth offense is to be inattentive while chanting and to maintain material attachments even after hearing so many instructions on this matter. It's very interesting. It says that even though you hear so many times, so many instructions not to do it, still you do it. Still, we're inattentive. Still, we're attached to material things. Now, someone asked me a long time ago, how do we know if we're becoming attached to Krishna or becoming attached to Maya? The answer is simple. Just pick up your bead bag every morning, start chanting your japa. Wherever your mind goes to, that's what you're attached to. If your mind goes to Krishna Leela, you're attached to. Your mind goes to your leela, still attached to everything material. So it's very easy every morning to find out where you're at. Still attached to material things, even after hearing so many instructions on this matter. So they don't make advancements. They're not falling down. They're staying in the same place. So better than falling down, staying in the same place, but that's not going to glorify Prabhupada if we just stay in the same place. We've got to make advancements so that you'll be glorified, that he didn't waste his time on us, waste his life to give us something and we don't even appreciate it. I used to use this analogy that Prabhupada, he gave us the spiritual world on a golden platter. Here, take this. All you have to do is follow the instructions. And we didn't realize what it was, and we let it fall to the ground. So, Vyasadeva was so kind-hearted and yet so powerful that he divided the Vedas in various ways for one reason and one reason only, so that the Vedas can be followed practically, can become a practical application for the benefit of less intelligent people in the modes of ignorance and passion. The next verse, you'll be discussing tomorrow, big purport too, says that out of compassion, the great sage thought it wise that this would enable men to achieve the ultimate goal of life. And we divide the Veda in various ways. And this will enable people to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus he compiled the great historical narration called the Mahabharata, because the Mahabharata is stories. It's not philosophy. People can relate to stories. And so these stories refer the women, the Shudras, and the Brahma Bandhus, so-called, or Dvija Bandhus, the word here, friends of the twice born. In other words, people born in Brahmin families but having no brahminical qualification. So he did everything that he could do to help mankind, Vyasadeva. And he even compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam. For our So let's take advantage of our good fortune that we connected to Prabhupada and we got this, and let's not misuse it. Let's not take this golden platter of the spiritual world and give it us and let it drop to the ground and end up going away because we're so attached to material life that we just didn't understand. So if we don't understand, if we're still attached to material things, our mind is always still going there, means we're not hearing the mantra properly. Because if you hear it, it purifies your heart. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. It's the supreme conqueror of illusion and negativity. Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. But you have to do it right. Hear, care, and attention. And if you're chanting your japa and you get to the end of the round and you can't remember how you got there, it means you didn't hear it. What are you going to do? Chant the round over again and hear it? Or count it as a round chanted? And then we have 16 rounds chanted that I never heard the mantra. And I think I'm making advancement. That's called moha. Illusion. So we had at least have to come out of the illusion that we're doing it right when we're doing it wrong. And do it right. And actually become the advanced devotee. So that we can actually benefit others. And not just be a charlatan. Posing as advanced devotee when actually we're struggling as much as everybody else. People we're trying to help. So, you're all taking up this path. You're all sincere because you're surrendered, doing your best. But you can do better. Everybody can do better. There is no, I'm doing my best now. You can always improve, unlimited. So our mood should be that I'm going to do my very best. Every morning we should be thinking, it's my intention to do the very best. And at the end of the day, you should think, I did okay today. But I can still improve. There's room for improvement. I can do better tomorrow. And if we have this mood every day, then we can actually advance. We have to be conscious about making advancement. This process has to be done in full consciousness. It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If we're unconscious or it's on automatic pilot, that's not the process. It's not the process. We have to be fully aware of what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're doing it. Be conscious. So in the retreat, I gave some tips how to remain conscious and how to always make sure that you're hearing the mantra. And how to relate to the mantra. It's not something that I have to do just to get it over with. There, now I've done my duty, 2 hours of mumbling. Now I'm making advancement. That's not the process. So, Prabhupada wanted that we become like Vyasa, like Ramanujacharya, like Lord Chaitanya, that we actually become the bona fide representative so that we can actually give the mercy of the Parampara to the Kripanas, that we can actually become Kripanas, so that we're kind to the. So we have to become qualified. Ta eva veda durmedhair, haryante purusharyata, evam chakara bhagavan vyas, the kripa vatsava. Thus the great sage Vyas, who was very kind to the ignorant masses, edited the Vedas so they might be assimilated by less intellectual. Said, small price to pay, I'll go to hell, everyone else will go back to Godhead.
Yeah.
Then the guru came to his senses, oh my God, you're more advanced than me. I accept you as guru, I'm not your disciple. I didn't tell that part of the story.
Yeah. But then, as an example, how can one know that this idea is more better than the
okay, the question is, how do you know? Yeah. Right? How do you know?
How do you know
if I'm on the, doing the right thing or the wrong thing? If it's right or wrong, how do I know? Is that the question?
Part of the question is, and the other part.
Well, let's go one part at a time, okay?
Sure.
So, I may ask you, how do you know if your sheets are clean? Let's say you're working, you know, in the guest house. Someone's just coming, you got the sheets. How do you know that they're clean? Here's the answer. If you're not sure, they're not clean. Because when they're clean, you're absolutely sure. Similarly, if you don't know, then you don't know. Because when you do know, you're absolutely sure. Because Krishna from in the heart, Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam, I give you that intelligence so that you know. Bhakta Smriti Jnana, from within the heart, Krishna reveals to you, so you know. If you don't know, if you're not sure, you don't know. So when you do know, you're 100% sure. And what's the second part? Yeah, disobeying the orders of a spiritual master is another offense. But there are some orders you can disobey. For example, if the spiritual master says you should get married, a man can say no. A woman won't, because for a woman she should get married. But a man can say no. It's not an offense. Prabhupada asked Jayananda, take sannyas. Jayananda said, no, Srila Prabhupada, I'm just a shooter. I can't take sannyas. I'm more happy just serving the devotees. Prabhupada said, that is all right. Or, if the spiritual master says to a man, you should take sannyas, he can say, I can't take sannyas. Totally disturbed. I'm always thinking of women. No way I can take sannyas. And the spiritual master says, okay. So disobeying the orders of the spiritual master means the process that he's given to us, we try to change it. Or he, like for example, there was a time when people were a little fanatical at ISKCON. And if you didn't follow exactly the way someone thought it should be, they'd say you're in Maya. And Prabhupada was hearing more and more the devotees were saying, you're in Maya, you're in Maya. So then Prabhupada in one lecture he said, anybody who says someone else is in Maya, it means they're in Maya. Because a Vaishnava doesn't say like that. He's Das, 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 Anu Das. He's seeing everyone as Prabhu. He's not, if I'm thinking you're in Maya, then I'm not taking the position of Das, I'm taking the position of Prabhu. So if you take that position, you're in Maya. Because we're always a servant. We're always glorifying everyone. Seeing the good qualities. But when you say someone's in Maya, you're seeing their bad qualities. And you're becoming the judge and jury. So anyone, Prabhupada said, if you say someone else is in Maya, it means you're in Maya. And another thing that Prabhupada was beginning to hear, that people would use, Prabhupada said, to control people. And then Prabhupada heard someone say, well, Prabhupada said this, and Prabhupada said, I never said that. You didn't say that? They said to, because they reported to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I never said that. So then he said, no more Prabhupada says. To control people. We do it all the time. Because we're not in the mood of servant. We're in the mood of master. You're in my, do this, Prabhupada said. So Ramanuja, he understood, I'm disobeying the orders of my spiritual master, I'm going to go to hell for this. And when his spiritual master told told him, yes, you're going to hell. He said, yeah, I know it. But it's a small price to pay if everyone else can go back to Godhead. He took the risk, sacrificed his own benefit, because he was Kripana Vatsala, to benefit all the others. This is a Vaishnava. Doesn't mean that we're at that level. But this is just an example of the highest Vaishnavas. We should be following Prabhupada strictly. The other day, in the reception area, there's always that thing, day by day, quotes from Srila Prabhupada. So there was a very nice quote. Srila Prabhupada was saying that I'm not the renouncer, I'm not the enjoyer, I'm just a servant of Krishna. And if I'm in this mood, that I'm just a servant of Krishna, I'm not a renouncer, I'm not an enjoyer, then I'll be happy, and there'll be no stress and anxiety in my life. You can go up there and just have a look a couple of days back. We're just a servant of Krishna. But some people think I'm the renouncer. My tapasya, my sadhana is the best. I'm really renounced. It's an illusion. We're just the humble servant of Krishna. I'm not the enjoyer either. Just the humble servant of Krishna. And there was another one that was really nice. Prabhupada was saying we have to follow the principles, attend the classes, take only prasadam, and chant every day on the beads good rounds. He didn't say just rounds. He said good rounds. We chant bad rounds. It's not the same as chanting good rounds. Good rounds means hearing, attentive. Bad rounds means inattentive, and it's an offense. I'm not going to get Krishna prema by committing two hours of offense every single day for the rest of my life. That's not how you get Krishna prema. You get Krishna prema every day, 2 hours of chanting with no offense. So for us, there are hard and fast rules, because we're the one meant to be in the parampara. We're the last link of the parampara. From us, it goes to the people in general. Did that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Anything else? From the gentleman, philosophically inclined. The men are more philosophically inclined than the ladies, so let's hear some good questions. Yes?
You mentioned the example of Prabhupada asking Janana Maharaj, the Prabhu to take sannyas. But, as we understand, the spiritual masters are Nityasiddhas, and they can see the future. So they know what is best for us. So if they're asking us to do something, then how do we really go against it?
That's your understanding? Spiritual master can see past, present, and future? Mm-hmm. So the Gurukul of children that were abused, Prabhupada could see that? Didn't stop it? Is that what you're saying? The pujaris that had sex on the altar and fell down. Prabhupada knew that. Said, didn't try to stop it. Is that what you're saying? Prabhupada sees everything. He's like Krishna. Krishna has three kalagya. He can see everything. You're saying Prabhupada's at the same level? Where did you read that? Can you give me a quote? See, if you read Prabhupada's books, then you don't have to speculate. Nowhere does Prabhupada say that. In fact, Krishna says that he can see everything, past, present, and future. But one who is Yesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajitam Vritti Purvakam, those who are completely devoted to me with love, the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam, I give them the intelligence. I give them the knowledge. I give them the remembrance. Krishna gives everything. If he wants you, whatever he wants you to know, he gives you that. Don't know, he doesn't give you. He's in control. So when Prabhupada heard that the children were being abused, he was shocked. He said they should all be hanged. The teachers in the Gurukula who were abusing the children, he said they should all be hanged. But if he knew in advance, why didn't he just stop it years earlier? So by saying like this, puts Prabhupada in a bad light. If he knows everything, but he let it go on, well, what's up? How would the kids feel? You're a kid that got abused, beaten, and molested, and Prabhupada knew. So how would you feel about Prabhupada if you were that kid? What's your answer? Krishna knows everything. No one is at the level of Krishna. He has no competitor. No one is equal to him or greater than him. Don't try and put Prabhupada at the same level as Krishna, because it doesn't make sense. It's also not our understanding. It means we're speculating. And why would I say that? Well, I'm connected to Prabhupada. He's as good as Krishna, and therefore I'm pretty good. I got the right guru, everyone else is bogus. So this kind of mentality is what we end up with. We've seen it. But I've seen such people fall away from devotional service. They don't stay. They fall away. Because they have the wrong understanding. And they present the wrong understanding as the absolute truth. She asked, how do you know? Well, if you don't study the books, there's no way you'll ever know. If you don't study Prabhupada's letters, you won't know. If you don't study his lectures, you won't know. If you don't chant attentively, you won't know. So you speculate. And if you hear from someone who's speculating, then it doesn't benefit you either. So when Prabhupada said to Jayananda, he said, why don't you take sannyas? Prabhupada considered Jayananda one of his best disciples. He wrote, I'm very proud to have a disciple like Jayananda. When Jayananda left his body, Prabhupada said he went back home, back to Godhead. And he said that we should honor Jayananda at his disappearance day with a feast and a half-day fast like we do for Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, for all the great acharyas in our line. He elevated Jayananda to the same platform. He said every Ratha Yatra festival must have a picture of Jayananda on the Ratha cart. That's what he said. And when he said to Jayananda, you should take sannyas, Jayananda said no. Prabhupada said, that's all right. So you're saying he disobeyed the orders of the spiritual master. It's a bit wrong understanding, that's all. So, if you hear attentively your japa, then things will become clear. But if we don't hear the mantra, if at the end of the round, when you get to the end, you can't remember how you got there, it means you weren't hearing. That's what it means. It means your mind was somewhere else. And you put your body into automatic mumble mode. You know mumble mode? You train yourself up after years in this movement that you can think and mumble at the same time. I was expert at it, so I know. But one day I realized, I had this realization, oh my God, realized this was the worst possible thing, that I learned how to think and chant at the same time. So I made a promise to myself. From now on, whenever I chant, I don't think. And if I do think, I take a break, I stop and refocus Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written that once we take care of the 10th offense and become attentive while chanting, that takes care of all the other offenses. Now you don't have to worry about any of the other offenses. Because when you chant attentively, what happens? The heart becomes purified and you become a pure devotee. So you don't commit the other offenses. You don't speculate. You don't have material desires. So if you follow the 10th offense, you become a pure devotee. Chanting attentively. Prabhupada said attentively means with care and focus of consciousness. With care, feeling. Attentively, focus. That solves all your problems in the devotional life. And that's why Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam is the most powerful thing, because in kirtan, you can learn to control your mind. So I tell people that if you want to improve your japa, make sure you're always going to kirtan. Be always in the kirtan. The more you do kirtan, the more the mind becomes subdued. So when you do japa, you're in the right mentality. That's why Prabhupada introduced the morning program. You start off with kirtan. The next thing you do is kirtan, the Srinidhev kirtan. The next thing you do is kirtan, Tulsi Puja kirtan. Then you sit down and do japa after three kirtans. So get the mind in the right mood to hear. Because kirtan is easier to control the mind. Much easier. So don't think that Prabhupada knew that the children were abused and did nothing about it. Therefore he's to blame. Because he knew. Because if he knew, he's to blame. Right? So that's such a heavy mentality, negative, offensive mentality. Think about it. Think about it and come to your own understanding. Yes.
Prabhu, would you say that the best way to spread this movement is to dive more into our japa?
Is to what?
The most efficient way to spread this movement is to dive more into our attentive chanting.
Attentive chanting, both, attentive in everything. First become conscious, then you can become Krishna conscious. I was there when Prabhupada said, don't be Krishna unconscious. First become conscious. You have to become conscious of everything that you do. Then you can become Krishna conscious. If you're unconscious, then you can't become Krishna conscious. So he called that Krishna unconscious. You're connected to Krishna, but everything you're doing is unconscious. You don't get Krishna prema from Krishna unconscious. Then he gave the example of Kamsa. Kamsa was also always thinking of Krishna, that was to kill him. So it wasn't favorable. So you have to be Krishna conscious, and the consciousness has to be favorable. So unfavorable Krishna consciousness was Kamsa. That also wasn't going to work. So you have to do it right. You have to be favorable, you have to be conscious, you have to have the mood of a Kripana Vatsala. That's why we go out every day to distribute prasad, or to distribute books, or distribute the holy name, or whatever it is that we distribute when we go out. It has to be done in full consciousness. If you do it just because then I have a place to sleep and eat in the ashram, then that's not Krishna consciousness. Wrong motivation. Ahoitukui apratiyata, devotional service has to be unmotivated. It's for the benefit of others. If I have some motivation, I'm doing it for my benefit. That's not devotional service, apratiyata. And it's also not to be interrupted. It goes on. It's not that now I'm Krishna conscious, now I'm not. Now I am, now I'm not. Now I'm that. This is my hour for being in Maya, this is my hour for being not in Maya. That's not the process. Uninterrupted, unmotivated. You see? But that's right here in the second chapter of this very book. Divinity and devotional service. It's right here. Just read the second chapter. It's one of the best chapters of this whole Bhagavatam. First canto, second chapter. It explains exactly what devotional service is. So you don't have to speculate. It's right there. We're in the fourth chapter. Go back two chapters and reread it. Get clear. Yeah?
On the same topic as the rules for which has been reduced, and you're saying how Srila Prabhupada didn't know, but Krishna does know, and why would you know why he let it happen?
Why did Krishna let it happen? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Because Krishna lets everything happen. He doesn't interfere. He gave us the freedom to behave in any way, to make any choice, right or wrong, but there's a reaction to it, karmic reaction. So someone who abuses children, they get a heavy karmic reaction. Hitler could go and kill so many people, but he gets a heavy karmic reaction. In this realm, Krishna gave us freedom to choose, so he doesn't take that back, doesn't take it away. Well, I told you you have freedom to choose, but you don't have that freedom, you don't have this freedom. No, he gives you complete freedom.
What about the children? Like, you know, that was my point. Why did he let it happen to children?
Well, children are being abused all over the world, in every religion, not just in this movement, right? Catholics are doing it. Muslims are doing it. Everybody's doing it. But who were those children in the previous life? Maybe they were the perpetrators. So we don't speculate about these things because we can't see the whole picture. But Krishna can see the whole picture. So, just like, for example, there's a story of a thief who broke into a house when the rich people were away and was stealing all the gold, and the baby woke up and started crying. He immediately took a pillow and smothered the baby because he didn't want the other people in the house to be alerted, so the baby died. But in the next life, he was murdered as a baby also. And then everybody said, oh, this innocent baby. What did he do wrong? They didn't know that he was the one who did it the previous life, you see. But Krishna knows. We don't know that.